Hey, what's up, family? Pastor Miles here. I am out at our marriage getaway in Palm Springs. We are having a great time out here. We have about 500 couples, and God's doing amazing things in their lives. And next week, we are going to be starting our series called Beyond Reasonable Doubt. We're going to cover so many topics to defend the Christian faith and the reliability of the Bible. I've never been more excited about a series. It's going to take many months, many different topics, but it's going to be very exciting. But today we have a special guest, Pastor Robert Herber from All People's Church and All People's Global Church Movement. They have 20 churches around the world. He's a great friend. He's right here in San Diego. We've partnered on many things to get the gospel to our city. And I want you to stand up and give a warm welcome to Pastor Robert Herber.
Hey, 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 Rock Church. Don't you love Jesus? I said, don't you love Jesus? You can have a seat. He is so good to us. I want to honor my dear friend, Pastor Miles. He has been such a great big brother to me. He's been a role model in bold faith and boldly proclaiming the gospel. But I want to tell you, he's been a fighter for us. We've been trying to build a church on the freeway directly across from San Diego State for 7 years, and it has been a fight. And one morning, I get this video, and it's not just Pastor Miles, but it's the whole Rock staff just interceding for us, calling down heaven. And I want to tell you, that's the kind of friend you need in your corner. And that's the kind of pastor you have. And I'm friends with so many of your pastors. We are a unified city. We're one big church in the city. And when we come together, the Bible says that there is a blessing commanded. So thank you, Rock Church. I learned how to do church in San Diego. I moved from a foreign land called Texas. Years ago, I came here and I was like, I don't know how the gospel flows in San Diego. So I sat up in that balcony and I learned from the beautiful diversity of this church, your do something attitude, your love for the lost. And I am so thankful. And this church needs the Rock. This city needs a Rock Church. And so we are thankful for you guys. Today, I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Say power. The Bible says this, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I want to tell you, I'm the last person who you would have ever thought would be speaking on the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I came from a church that we would have called the Frozen Chosen. Right? What do I mean by that? Man, I saw you guys lifting your hands in church. No one did that in my church unless they had a question. I saw some of you guys closing your eyes. No one closed their eyes in our church unless they were asleep. I saw some of you guys just crying in the presence of the Lord. The only time someone cried in our church is if they got offended. And I saw some of you even dancing back and forth. I would have thought you had a demon. So I came from the Frozen Chosen. The thing I'm thankful for, though, is we believed in the authoritative Word of God. Who loves the Word of God? But here's the thing. This Bible talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. This Bible actually talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. And you see, being in the Frozen Chosen, it just didn't work for me because I'm a kind of guy that is a carpe diem, seize the day. I want adventure. I want adrenaline. And for me, church was boring. It was just come and sit in your pew, right? I don't know where they came up with that name, pew, and how they thought that would be enticing. And so what I thought is that being a Christian, you know, is we went and stopped the people that were having all the fun in the world because what looked fun to me was beer commercials. Right? Beer commercials, they got everyone partying on the beach, having fun. And then for me, church looked like a bunch of people sitting in pews drinking lemon juice. And who wants that? I remember going to this this kind of conference for youth at the end of my high school days, and they talked about the reality of heaven and hell. And I need to explain to you, first of all, that I was already a Christian. And what I mean is I had given my life to Jesus Christ. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I needed him to save me. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so today I'm not talking about salvation because I was already saved. But I, I wasn't living like a saved person. You see, because the beer commercials looked so fun, I decided to go out and party. And I tried to jump into that and into parties and into girls. But the problem was I was a Christian. And so I was a horrible partier because I was too convicted. But then I was a horrible Christian because I was a partier. It's a miserable place to be. I wasn't good at either one of them. So I'm at this conference and I hear about the reality of heaven and hell, and if people don't give their life to Jesus, they're gonna go to hell. And I got really convicted that I need to share the gospel with my friends. So I'll never forget hanging out with my best buddy, John. And we were just having fun at his house, and then just conviction came over me that John is gonna spend a Christless eternity in hell. So I looked at him in the middle of just hanging out and I said, John, you're going to hell. That didn't go too well. So I thought I'd follow it up. I said, John, you're going to hell, but I'm going to heaven. And he was like, what are you talking about? And he was so upset. He's like, your life is just like me. How are you going to heaven? What's the deal? And really, that ended our friendship. Then I remember my girlfriend, Andrea, again, we were just studying, and all of a sudden, I'm just going like, oh my gosh, she's going to go to hell. And so while we're studying, I was like, Andrea, I need to tell you something. And she looks at me, she goes, what? I go, you're going to hell. She broke up with me. So that same year, I get this letter, because remember, I was going to church. I was a Christian, but I get this letter in the mail, and I'm like, wow, someone sent me a letter. This guy named Garnet sent me a letter, and I open it, and I'm like, what is this going to be? And it goes, dear Robert, you say you're a Christian, but you live like a pagan. You're a partier. You're hurting your Christian witness, and you're hurting all of us. Whew. And I pulled out a piece of paper, and I was like, I'm going to get him back. And I was like, you don't know me. You don't know my life. How dare you say that? And I took it. I sealed it. I walked it back to the mailbox. I mailed it off. And then I turned around, and oh, I was so convicted because he was right. But I couldn't change. I mean, I tried to change, but I couldn't change myself. How many know, you know, you can't change yourself? And so I just started crying out to God, and I'm going to give you three keys today to receive more of the power of the Holy Spirit, and the first one is hunger. Say hunger. Hunger. The first one is hunger, and so I started getting desperate, and so many times our desperation leads to our inspiration, because I got hungry, and I was like, Lord, I can't change myself, so I desperately need your help, and God worked in a different way than I expected. I went off to college. And at college, man, I was even more desperate. I was so insecure. I was so anxious all the time. And if like seven people didn't call me each day, I felt like I wasn't loved. And I tried to join the top organizations, but I was empty. And I was so anxious that at the end of every day, I would go into the restroom and just vomit, because I'd been so wound up. And so many of you have actually experienced this, where you're just dealing with anxiety and you're like, what's the deal though? I'm a Christian. Like, why am I struggling so much? And then I met this girl. And this girl didn't have all the things going for her that the world says you need. She wasn't the most beautiful girl. She's just average looking. She didn't drive the coolest car. She drove an old rusted minivan. And that wasn't cool back then. She didn't have the prettiest clothes. She didn't live in the cool dorm or belong to the cool in crowd. But guys, when I was around her, I was actually jealous of her, because she just emanated with joy. She just radiated with peace. It was like her face shined. And so finally one day, I built up the courage to ask her. I went up to her and I said, girl. I said, girl, why are you so happy all the time? I said, aren't you insecure? And she said this, oh, Robert. She was so joyful. She goes, oh, Robert. She goes, I'm so insecure. But I walk with the Holy Spirit. I walk with the Holy Spirit moment by moment. I'd never heard anybody talk like this before, especially a young person. She goes, I feel his presence. And I'm like, what, you feel? I had never heard of that. She goes, I hear his voice. He speaks to me. He leads me. And I sense him with me all day long. And as he fills me up, I'm overflowing with peace and joy. And I said, I can see that. I want what you have. Would you teach me? And guys, I encourage you to ask guys to teach you and mentor you. Girls, I encourage you to ask women. There's so many men and women that can mentor you. But thankfully, she said yes. And so she said, meet me, and she was wise. She goes, meet me out in the middle of campus, and I'll teach you. And so the first thing we did, we sat down, and she said, okay, Robert, I want you to pray. And so I prayed my most religious, I said, our Father and our God, we beseecheth thee now. I didn't even know what beseech means. We beseecheth thee now to cometh and dwelleth. And while I'm doing that, she's going like this. Yes, yes. And I am like, what is that chipmunk noise? This girl is, I am so offended. I'm like, you're quiet when people pray. Don't. I didn't know she was praying in tongues. She was praying in her spiritual language. I'm glad I didn't know that, because I would have run. Because I'm from the frozen chosen. We don't believe in this stuff. And then she goes, let me pray. And she goes, Jesus, we need you. We love you. And my hair on my arm's like, whoa, she is dialed in. I don't know if you've ever prayed with someone that actually knows Jesus. You're like, whoa, what frequency are you on? And she invited me into her church, and I went to her church, and guys, I couldn't handle it. People were like you. they're raising their hands, they're crying, they're swaying back and forth, you know, and they're doing this, and I'm like, if you raise your hands, at least raise them this way so you receive. Don't push God back, you know. Why do we get these weird human traditions? And so anyway, I just couldn't do it. So I went back to my traditional church, and I love all churches, but I went back to my traditional church, and for years I just sat there and I struggled with sin, and I was empty, and I was hungering for more. I was desperate. I just thought there has to be more. And so a couple years later, by now I'm actually a religion major. I'm like, I actually want to be a pastor. She invites me on their college mission trip. There were a couple hundred college students going to Juarez, Mexico on a mission trip. And guys, they came back with the craziest reports of all of these salvations. I've been on a mission trip, but it was always to paint something, and maybe one person would rededicate their life to Jesus. And so they're talking about hundreds of people coming to know Jesus. And I'm like, what? And then they talk about miracles. And these weren't like crazy faith healer people. These were just like college students, and they're talking about like bones snapping back into place and people, lame people walking and deaf people hearing. And I was like, if this is happening, I've got to go. So I signed up for the trip. I didn't want to because I wanted to go skiing, but I signed up for the trip because I'm like, if he's moving, I've got to see it. Is that your cry, church? Is that your cry, church? Like, if God's moving somewhere, I've got to see it. And so I sign up. The first thing they have us do, we go to a training day. The first thing they have us do is they have us fast. And they said, we're going to fast to empty ourselves and make ourselves more hungry. Point one, hunger. And I was like, is that even legal to ask college students to fast? Should be against the law, but I did it. And that was horrible. I actually passed out on the fast because I had big coffee milkshakes and then would go and run. There's a right way to fast and a wrong way. I was doing the wrong way. But they also had us memorize a gospel track, and they said, we're going to get down there and we're going to just share with people on the streets. Like, we're going to get together. We're going to do our dance team's going to dance. It's going to draw a crowd. Then we're going to do a drama, and then we're going to all share the gospel with different people. And so I memorized the track, and I'm thinking, Mexico must just be like the magical world of Disney for salvations, because it sounds like everyone they share with gets saved. So I'll never forget the first night being on the street, our drama team's going, and there's a big crowd. I'm like, this is amazing. And then they tell us to go share with people. And so I find the softest hearted looking elderly Mexican couple. And I'll walk up and I show them my track, and I say, ¿Conoce el camino al cielo? Do you know the way to heaven? And they're like, no. And I said, can I show you this? And they go, sí. And I'm like, yes. So I go through the book, and I'm showing them the points of the gospel, that God loves you, but there's a problem, there's sin, and Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin, and you can have a relationship with him, and they're just tracking with me the whole time, and I get to the very end, and I said, ¿Quieres recibirte Cristo en tu corazón? Do you want to receive Jesus in your heart right now as your Lord and Savior? And they look at me, and they go, no. And I go, no? Wait, and so I ask them again, do you want to receive... No. So I walk off, I'm all defeated. So I go to the next person. I look for the second softest looking person in the park. I share with them. Do you want to receive Jesus? No. I go to the third. By now, I'm getting pretty discouraged. So I'm like, okay, Jesus is not using me in sharing the gospel. Maybe he'll use me in praying for healing, because they said, we're going to lay hands on the sick and pray for the sick while we're down there. And so different people would raise their hand. And this is a poor part of Juarez. And so numerous people needed healing. There are people on crutches. There's people in wheelchairs. There's people that have all kinds of sickness. So I'm laying hands on the sick and saying, Lord, just sincere prayer. Lord, please heal this person. Look up. Any better? No. Oh. So you start getting desperate. You're like, okay, what did they do in the Bible? They made declarations. Rise up! Any better? Nope. Finally, you're like, okay, maybe I need to spit on him. Jesus spit on people, you know. Nothing. No salvations. No healings. Not just on day one, on day two, on day three. Day four comes around, and in the mornings we'd have team time. And we'd be in this church and we'd worship, and we're worshiping just incredible worship like you guys were doing this morning. And then the pastor would preach. And on day four, the pastor says, today I'm going to preach on the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I went, uh-uh. Because you got to understand, by now I'm a religion major, and I'm actually going to write my paper, my long paper, against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm like, that's just for crazy Pentecostals, not for Bible people like us. And he starts by reading this verse in Acts 1:4. Listen to this, church. It says this, on one occasion while he was eating with them, this is Jesus, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift, say gift, my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden I'm like, wait a second, how can I be against this? Jesus said he was gonna do this. He's gonna baptize us in the Holy Spirit. And he started to explain the difference between being born again, receiving the Holy Spirit. Like if you have the Holy Spirit in here, would you just raise your hand? Okay, everyone actually should be raising their hand if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 1, when we believe, we're marked with him as a seal, the deposit of Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance. You receive the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. When you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in you. So today I'm not talking about, do you have the Holy Spirit? If you've given your life to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. If you haven't given your life to Christ, I encourage you to do that at the end of the service. And then you'll receive regeneration, the Holy Spirit being in you. But there's a, Polly, can you come help me with this? There's a difference between the Holy Spirit being in us. So let's, and then being upon us. So I'll explain it this way. This guy's awesome, this guy. A lot of times in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is symbolized as water. So watch this. When you give your life to Jesus and you ask him to come into your heart, this is what he does. He puts his spirit in you. Mm, that is good. Don't you wish you had some of this?
Yes.
Okay. So, Polly, let me ask you this. I have water in me. Do you feel the water? No, but it's in me.
Nope.
But you don't feel it. But it's in me, bro.
Don't feel it.
Okay, don't feel it. This is why Acts 1:8. Can we put Acts 1:8 again? It says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you or upon you. The word baptized, baptizo, means to be fully submerged, to be dunked. So there's a difference between this and this.
Uh-oh.
Polly, do you feel this?
Yes.
What does it feel like?
It's cold.
It's wet. And Polly, give me your hand. Now go spread that around to some friends out there, okay?
I will. Thank you.
The Holy Spirit comes in. Let's give him a hand. The Holy Spirit comes in you for you. He comes on you for them. He comes in you for you. But it says you'll be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. We need the Holy Spirit on us to be powerful witnesses. Amen. So guys, I'm sitting in the back of the church that day, and the pastor starts talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how the church is exploding worldwide, not so much in America at the time, but worldwide, where people embrace the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how revival fires are burning across South America, how the revival is hitting Africa, how the house church in China is exploding, and it's not through scholars, it's not through the learned, it's through ordinary people who've been filled to overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit, and all the same things that happened in the Bible are happening today. And as he's saying that, my heart is just pounding because I'm like, if that's the case, like I've read the Bible. I don't want to just read about it. I want to see it. And if that's happening, I want to be a part of it. But then he read this next scripture. I want you to see this in 1 Corinthians 1:26. It says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are so that no one may boast before him. And I'd always look down on those emotional people, those people that were just going crazy before the Lord, those people that might even shake or cry in the presence of God because I'm like, that looks weak. And I'm not weak. I want to be strong, and I'm going to bring my gift, and I'm going to be God's gift to creation. And he started showing that's not who God uses. That's not who God chose. He chooses the weak. He chooses those who know their need for him. Why? So that no one can boast before him, so that he gets all the glory. And so I'm sitting on the back of that row, and he starts talking about this is who God looks to, he who is broken and contrite of heart. He started talking about brokenness, and I'm like, who wants to be broken? I want to be together. I don't want to be broken. And he explained how that God actually opposes the proud. The Bible says that God opposes the pride, but he gives grace to the humble. It says, humble yourself under the mighty right hand of God, and he will lift you up. And man, I started getting convicted over how prideful I had been. He talked about how a broken horse can actually be a danger to the master, but a horse, an unbroken horse is a danger. And that was very poignant illustration to me because back when we were younger, my sisters and I were with my parents out in a field of flowers where they were taking pictures of my sisters, and they had our little teacup poodle named Croissant. And the problem was is there were horses in that pasture, and there were unbroken horses in that pasture. They weren't tamed, they weren't obedient to their masters, and so our little dog Croissant was at the horses, and the horses were getting annoyed, so they were coming closer and closer. Now, I have a real big football player dad, but he was no comparison to the strength of a horse, so he's trying to back them up, and the horses just shoo him right out of the way and then kick at our little teacup poodle, Croissant, miss the dog, and hit my sister right smack in the jaw. She does a backflip through the air, breaks her jaw in 9 places. She goes into a coma. Now, by God's grace, she survived. She's living today. She's serving the Lord. Thank you, God. But I understand the danger of an unbroken horse, that it can do more damage than be a blessing to the master. I remembered that, right? I remembered scaring my friends off from Jesus. I remember someone having to send me a letter saying, you don't live submitted to Jesus. I said, man, I'm sitting on the back row getting so convicted because it's been about what I can do for him and my pride and my looks and my abilities.
And he says, if you'll come and humble yourself and cry out for the power of the Holy Spirit that he wants to pour out on you. I want to tell you, church, I'm sitting on that back row and I got so hungry. I was so needy. I couldn't stand for God to be moving in the world and me not to get to be a part, that I got up when he said, you come forward, and I ran. I want to tell you, if you can't humiliate yourself in church, you're never going to be able to humiliate yourself anywhere. I ran to the front. I hit my knees, and I just started repenting. I started just giving myself to brokenness and surrender, because that's point number two. The second key is you got to be broken. You got to be willing to let God do anything. You can't say, Lord, I want the gift of healing, but I won't speak in tongues. Or Lord, I'd love wisdom, but don't give me the discernment of spirits. That's weird. Or Lord, you can touch me, but make it look really strong and pretty, not a mess. Well, I want to tell you, I got down on the floor and I started repenting and I started to cry and I hadn't cried in years. And I'm like, oh no, I'm starting to look like those emotional charismatics. Guys, at that moment, this fiery little Asian woman comes and she puts her hand on my shoulder and I'm thinking, oh, this is sweet, like the prayer team. And she starts going, he's a self-made man, Lord. He's a self-made man. And now I'm like, ah! I'm starting to cry like crazy. And I'm thinking, oh no, I know what happens. The prophet of the Lord comes, proclaims judgment, and the ground's gonna open up. I'm gonna be swallowed, just like in the Old Testament when they were bad people. This I'm about to die. But instead, as she prays for me, the power of the Spirit like electricity. Some of you felt this before. Some of you are gonna feel it today. Some of you are gonna feel it in your prayer closet as you go home. But the power of the Holy Spirit started touching me and I started to tremble and I'm like, oh, whoa. And then I start shaking and I'm like, oh no. Like I've become those crazy people that I judge. And then I'm starting to just snot, like just ugly, not sweet Jesus cry, like, ugh. I'm weeping, and she says, he's a self-made man. But the Lord says, if you'll humble yourself, if you'll humble yourself, he'll raise you up as a leader in this generation. Guys, at that moment, I was just glad to be alive, to think that God would even use me. I don't know if you've ever been so in touch with your sin that you know how wicked you are, that you're like, I can't believe it saved me. And even more, I can't believe that it even used me. I melt onto the ground. I'm laying on the ground for 30 minutes. I can't get up. The power of God is so strong on me. I finally get up. The room is cleared. It's just me and another girl. We get up and we're like wiping our noses and looking at each other like, oh, sorry, excuse me. This is awkward. But what was the fruit? That night, remember, I hadn't seen one person saved. I hadn't seen one person healed. I'm totally discouraged. So that night when we go out on the streets in the marketplace in Juarez, Mexico, I decided, okay, I can't lead people, Lord. I can't pray for healing, but I can guard the backpacks. So I'm gonna be the guard of the backpack because at least I'm tall. So I'm just standing guarding the backpacks and someone says, so who needs healing? All these people raise their hands. And so different ones of my friends on the outreach are going and laying hands on people, and I'm just sitting there, you know, guarding the backpacks. And from out around the corner walks a man on a cane with a literal hunchback. And he walks up, but all my friends are praying for other people, like they're all occupied. And so he looks around, looks at me, and no lie, he goes, and this is what I did. He does it again, he goes, he's determined now, like, you. And I go, finally, third time, I'm like, okay. I'm not a jerk. I'll do it. So I start walking, and then I see this one sorority girl who's just lost. She's just, like, looking around, clueless. I'm like, come with me. She goes, okay. We go up to this man, and I speak enough Spanish to understand that he says, I've had intestinal pain for 20 years, and I have a hunchback, and that's pretty obvious. And so I just do the exact thing that I had done the last 4 days. I put my hand on his stomach and I go, Lord, I'm already thinking, poor guy, you got the wrong guy. I go, Lord, please, in Jesus' name, heal the guy. I have my hand on his stomach. And in that instant, his stomach goes, boom. And I go, ah! And then it goes, boom. And I look at the girl next to me, and she's like, ah! Not because she's excited. She's so scared. She's like, ah! His stomach is contorting in and out, in and out. Then his back starts going pop, pop, like you're hearing it snap, pop. He's going like this. His face turned red, and he's going, and I'm watching him and have my hand on his stomach as his back 100% straightens up. His stomach goes down, and he lifts his hands to heaven and starts crying, going, Gloria a Dios, gracias, Cristo, gracias, praise God, thank you, Jesus. He was even raising his hands like this. I was like, he's not pushing God back. All this crowd gathers around us, and I'm like, did you see that? People are like, see. And so I pull out my book, I'm like, do you want to know the road to heaven? See. I go through it. Are you ready to receive Jesus? See. I'm like, yes. So I go to the next person. Did you see that? See. Do you want to know the road to heaven? See. I go through the gospel. Do you want to give your life to Jesus? See. Person after person after person after person. I'm not doing anything different. But the power of the Holy Spirit had come upon me to be a witness, to proclaim the good news of the gospel, and to demonstrate, did you hear me? And to demonstrate his power. Church, this isn't just for me, this is for anyone. I just got this report from one of our global workers. She's the most meek woman. She's serving the Lord in the Middle East in a country that's just like 99.9% Muslim. And she met this little child who was in the dumpster, and she said, why are you in the dumpster? And she bought this child some food, and the child took him to a village, a tent village of people, and she found that they all had these different sicknesses. Now, if you met this girl, she is not this charismatic, hard-charging person. She's just a sweet person, but she has a secret. The power of the Holy Spirit has come upon her. So she started finding out that all these different ones had sickness, so she just started laying hands on them. And one after other of Muslim people started getting saved. They started getting healed. Just the power of God, healing. Then they started having dreams of Jesus. And now there is a church and a people group that's never had a church in their history. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I said it's for them, but here's what happened is I started getting free. All of a sudden, the sin that I couldn't get free of, I started getting free. So I came back from that mission trip, and I was able to meet with the pastor, and I said, man, let me tell you what happened. How can I not just have this be a mission trip experience? He said the most interesting scripture. He said, Psalm 103, Robert. Psalm 103 says, the children of Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew his ways. He said, I'd be a person that spends time with God daily to get to know his ways. Matthew 26:40 says this. Jesus takes his disciples in the garden, and he says, watch. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? I want to tell you that this generation has become the best generation at watching. Some of you are doing it now. You're just looking down at your phones. I want to tell you, this is the most gifted generation at watching. I just want to tell you, just change your app. Change your app to the Bible app. Change your app from watching kitten videos on YouTube and TikTok to watch and worship and enter in and start spending time with God, because as I started doing that daily, the power started pouring out on me again. That's why the Bible says, do not be drunk on wine. It leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That verse in Ephesians 5, that's the present progressive form of be filled, which says be continually being filled. So let me end with this scripture for you, church. The disciples are asking Jesus about the Holy Spirit, and he says this, so I say to you, ask, say ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For anyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asked for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asked for an egg, would give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here's my question, church. Have you asked? Have you asked? That's my third point. The last key, have you asked? Ask him, would you stand up with me right now? Would you stand up right now? And I want you to do something really bold. If you're hearing this message and your heart is burning, you're like, Pastor, I gotta experience more. Can we unlock the stanchions right there? Because I want you to be able to do what I did. If you're hungry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for him to just pour out on you, to experience more so that you can be his witnesses, I want you to just step out of your seats right now and just start coming forward. Why? Because the Bible says, draw near to God. Thank you so much. And prayer team, you come on up too. Right now, just start coming. Don't be ashamed. If you're hungry, just start moving. Just start moving and come all the way up to the front and get down on your knees. If your heart's burning, if you're like, man, I don't know if this is me or I'm not the kind of person that does this. No, you never know when God's gonna move, when he's gonna touch you. And I wanna encourage you, just do what I did. Start pouring out your heart in brokenness. Repent for the things that you put your pride in. Repent for your sin. God loves to pour out on an empty vessel. Just come, get on your knees, open your hands. You can even get on the sides. Come now, we have time. Come now, if this is your desire, because the Lord wants to pour out. It's not about wise and persuasive words. It's not about how beautiful you are, how strong you are, how much money you have. It's about being a willing vessel that says, it's gotta be all him. I need more him. Come, get on your knees, open your hands. And even if you're in your seats and you're saying, hey, the aisles are already full, but I want this too, just open your hands right now. Just open your hands right now. And just say, Lord, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me. Lord, give me the gifts you want to give me. God, overwhelm me with your Spirit. I don't want religion. I want real. I want your power. Just start crying out, church. Let's just start praying right now. You can pray. We've already done that once today. Just start praying with your voice, praying for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on you.